Blog Talk Radio.
Always making it happen. It's your big brother, your little brother, Dolomite, a.k.a. Dothan. What's going on with your world? 305-417. You in, King?
Yeah, what's going on, man? Hello?
Nothing much. Just got finished doing the show. Decided to do another one, special edition on Saturday. All about community understanding, building relations, and things of that nature. I had did a part two to the Creole Revolution. And what I have brought up on the show was not just what transpired in the French quarters, but they also had, I brought up some locations that dealt with Mexico, that dealt with Central America, that dealt with in Ecuador, that dealt with in other parts of South America as well as Southern America. So when we speak of the Creole Revolution, we talking about a fight against France and Spain, because that's who they mainly was fighting against. You see, what? So it ain't just brothers and sisters on the island of Haiti, which was actually realistically a military island. Let's just be honest here, because Toussaint was under military form. The leaders that's on the currency when the island first had its independence they're military. So we have to understand the word, when we look at the word Creole, like I said previously on the show, the O-L-E, and we looked it up. Creole is tied to military. It's not tied to royalty. So that's the dagger right there with the bull. And who is the one that's capitalizing on all this is the black kings and queens that was a part of England, France, and Spain. Guilty parties. And how you know this? Well, all the artifacts that in these regions where the Creole occupation was taking place at. It's in their museums. And all these artifacts are linked to the ancient world, brother. They are linked to the ancient world. Yes, they is. Go ahead, King.
I have a different take on that. I wouldn't say it was a midpoint for shipping, because there was towns and it was a place of it was like when they came over here on the Mayflower, the Pinta, or the Santa Maria, what do you want to call those three ships, and they started a colony, you know. And I think when you say Creole, you kind of limit. I call it the black experience, you know, because it was a war against the French and Spain and the Dutch and all that there too, all of Europe contained. But this what we're talking about is a fragment of what was a bigger and larger, operation going on, you know. And basically, I mean, we know black people built this country, you know what I'm saying? If you look at the Western, like, world, from the Caribbean to America, it was built on our backs, you know what I'm saying? And there was different players in this game, but they all had one goal in mind, was to oppress us, you know what I'm saying? And we were talking about the other day with the Creole Revolution. You know, we got together with everybody except, I guess you call it, the Germans, and we united as one. But at the end of the day, you got black people on the opposite spectrum. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's like we fought, we help other races fight. Sorry, I gotta talk a little low here. We help like-minded people fight, but we didn't. It didn't give us anything in the end. But at the same time, I think it's something that people should die.
Well, the reason why I think that, I think might have to cut it. His phone got cut off or something. He'll be calling back in, and I'm gonna bring it up when he come back on. But the reason I think that, like I said before on the previous show, that Haiti was a military island is because, again, the flag speaks for itself. You addressing some shit called the coat of arms. Let's just be honest here. They're gonna like calling in now.
Dropped off.
Yeah, it's all good. I know your phone dropped off. If you got on the main line, it's all good. Call back into the show. It's we all good. No, I was just addressing.
Okay.
I was saying the reason why I was saying that Haiti was a military encampment. If you take a look at the flag. The flag itself is a coat of arms flag.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just be honest here. The weaponry and all that is linked to Europe. What they were doing was this, okay? France, when they invaded over there and off the Ivory Coast, as well as Spain and England, and was snatching up slaves and everything and destroying kingdoms at the same time, along with Arab occupation. Because the Arab occupation took place first.
And what happened to the Nok tribe, that's N-O-K, what happened to them is pretty much they got, you know, the culture declined and collapsed after, you know, during Arab occupation. They got invaded. Thus, small kingdoms came about from that. The small kingdoms itself, one of them being in Benin, with two-son ancestry tied to it, as far as the people that came over here off slave ship, and the royalties in Europe were so nasty about it. Not only did they drop them off in Haiti, but they also dropped them off in Virginia too. They also see it wasn't just Louisiana that was part of France as well. You also had Virginia. And see, Virginia was one of those coastal areas that linked to the 13 colonies. I mean, that's like the upper area to what Haiti was.
But what they don't tell you is that there were already black people in, you know, they say Aboriginal, they call these people Palladio Indians.
We know there were
black people here.
But they were using other the occupation and black ops to push them out.
I understand that, but this is the thing here. When you look at Toussaint Louverture was people don't know that he was educated, and he heard that news. When news happens in America, it travels around the world, you know. So he knew what was going on in Europe. He knew that there was a rebellion, and he knew that, you know, he was I don't know if he was an astute general as much as people try to, make grandiose. It don't take nothing but a mob to get together and go crazy on some people, you know what I'm saying? But from what I remember about his biography, he continued of Europe, meaning that French kings or people of wealth, what they used to do, they would build a building, right?
Mm-hmm.
And these buildings had secret compartment levels, and they would kill the builder, okay, or severely, or if someone did something that was, you know, real, you know, just simple mistakes, they would chop off limbs and stuff like that. So he was, when people look at this character, I understand he was a black, they want to idolize him in some such way, but in reality he came from a ring of white European male. When he took the island, okay, when he had a successful revolt, he was also negotiating with the so-called European leaders, okay? There was a time where they and he secured a dowry to pay back the laws and all this right here. And his rulership under the man, he became in, you know, so how when you but that spirit carried on through people. I believe that people of the island, like you say, in Louisiana, because that spirit of okay, if somebody's doing you wrong, it's time to fight back. You know what I'm saying? Once you light a fire, that fire's going to catch a blaze in other people. But here's the thing. When you're fighting against colonial powers, okay, and at the same time, after you beat them back, you want to start dealing with them as far as trade, I think that's a little bit of hypocrisy. You know what I'm saying? Now I know certain areas where you live at has got to have certain things, but you got to always see. We always do this. as black people. We feel like we're gonna gain some ground, and we start making concessions. You know what I'm saying? Instead of believing in ourselves and cultivating our own skills. You get what I'm saying? I think that's where a lot of these revolutions went wrong at. If you are already got beef with your oppressor, okay, and then your oppressor is trying to lure you back with the carrot and stick, I mean, come on. We see that get played up on evening news all the time. My bad. I don't know if you're home up there. I was gonna say what's up to him. What's his name? He's there.
He should be calling in the show. I'm gonna double check because I'm not on that. Uh-huh. No, I don't think he called in yet. But he should be calling in. So, because he's actually at a event over there on 27th where they're dealing with vegetation and stuff like that on 27th. They're actually over there doing I forget the terminology he had used, but it was dealing with natural vegetations over there. So they're dealing with vegetables and stuff like that.
I want to switch gears for 1 minute. I just want to interject this right quick. I learned the parallel between colonialism and free market system. You see, in both of these ideologies right here, they're dependent on the natural resources of other people. You see, it's like they're like the virus. They're the consumer, and they do produce themselves, but it's like they want to hoard theirs and take yours and make capital yours. You know, I'm sorry, I'm calling it free market and the colonialism. And these parallels have not really, it's the same thing, it is under a different name. Black people did it. Because without us, how would the infrastructure be laid at? As I know we're doing with machines and we have, you know, these modern buildings going up. But if we didn't lay down the foundation, where would America be? You know what I'm saying? As black people, where would they be? I mean, we see, this is the thing where, you know, you forget the root of what, and you're looking at the fruit, but you forget the root. You know what I'm saying? And this is where everything springs from.
I agree. I would agree, because the thing is, when it comes to infrastructures and things, we get the short end of the stick. We always building. Who is the one that's getting the benefits and the credit? The union.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's the American Union or whether it's the European Union. And I just was addressing that earlier on the show, on my other show. This goes out to the KKK members. How is it that y'all won the American Revolution, but they took y'all in? I'm going to tell you what happened. Your grand wizard, he copped the plea and brought pretty much allowed your peoples to get drug infested. You lost your land, and they gave your people methamphetamine and opium. And who was the one that benefited off this? The Grand Wizard, because he copped the deal with them. They know y'all a radical group, but the same way that Big Mike addressed the infrastructure problem with Haiti and any other thing like that, that's tied to any other culture that goes through that, y'all in the same cheese trap too. It's the same exact mono-e-mono system. You did a job for somebody, or you think you're doing something for yourself, somebody up and come and snatch the land from. Same thing over there in Haiti. Farmland being took. How do people go on agriculture? Fake rice coming in, plastic rice. They caught them. People sent that shit back. Take it for a joke.
You know the crazy thing is, I was talking to a friend of mine. I was like, you know, it's like they do things. I say they do things in stages. Okay, they give you kings and queens, then they give you, I guess, lodges, And people don't know this, but the KKK was actually a secret organization, actually a what do you call a Masonry lodge.
Yeah. I mean, the real talk, they're just linked to a military side of things. They can never
now,
be on top.
Masonry lodges claim to be Christian organizations, but in reality, these people are not actually had nothing to do with the Christian church. Certainly, the whole true is has nothing to do with Christianity whatsoever. And, you know, I heard people say George Washington was the biggest Freemason. That's true, you know. And see, a lot of these things that's going on in society is something that's already been worked out. You know, you hear about these things. Well, I'm gonna draw a parallel what I'm saying here. You always hear about these think tanks. Okay. He asks, who are these people? What interests do they have? And time, and some certain organization that's in certain periods and eras in time, you got to scratch your head. You got to like, man, what is your purpose? What is the purpose of a Masonry lodge? But we're not going to get in that. Okay, we're going to stay on topic here.
Right.
But today, liberals, I mean, people at the top of the food chain want to dictate to people's lives today on how and what they're going to do, how they're going to live, how much money they're going to make, you know. And things are going on in our society where, as far as black people, there you can see the inequality. You know what I'm saying? You can see it. I mean, it's saying, what you going to do about it. And people have got to go to psychological programming, okay?
Yeah.
We talk about this all the time. That we got to get over the psychological programming in order to be to have success in life for yourself. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you don't have success where you don't got to work 80, 90 hours a week, something like that, or where to I call it subsidizing your income by having your own business, or just going and having your business doing your full time thing, then that's the thing you should be trying to do. This economy, if people are basing their economy on their employer, and I understand people have to get their education or training or the money to do these things, but start working towards that. Or it's ideal. You know what I'm saying? You got to work towards that. What I'm basically trying to say is black people have got to be self-efficient. You know, even I don't know if you remember Black Wall Street. People sometimes, they often bring it up. These people had, it was a small-knit community. It wasn't that small of a community, but bank, their own theater, their own gas stations, and they were living good. Now, they didn't need the U.S. government or a handout because people were educated. Their culture wasn't, you know, they were in the age of, okay, the church, the family, and, you know, economics, you know, independence.
Economic structure and things like that, right.
But these people, immediately to you see, this is what I mean by keeping them. See, they strategically put hate in somebody's heart, or they exploit it, and they cause a ripple effect. And that ripple effect is not something they strategically act to, and as a consequence of what's inevitable. You know what I'm saying? Because you fear, it's like me and my brother talking about this the other day. In the 1980s, when Reagan was in power, this was the height at white America's, there were good jobs, they were making good money. If you white in America under Reagan, you were living pretty good. You didn't have any complaints. As the years went on, as you know, things started becoming more diverse. More people started getting into the, you know. To fight for this job. It is still that way to some degree, but in capacity, it's about who best qualifies. You know what I'm saying? If you don't qualify for a certain position because you don't have the skill level, they're not going to give it to you because of the color, you know, of your skin. They're going to give it to the person whoever has the skill. You know what I'm saying? So now you're competing with women, minorities, and people are trying to find something to latch on to because they, in America, they train you to be, if you ain't making money, you're inadequate. You know, there's something wrong with you. That's the why. Like if you don't have something, a certain achievements in life, maybe a whatever it may be today, what we call in our society, you're lacking. You know what I'm saying? And you see this in the mindset of some black women. You know, you see it in their mindset. They see if a brother ain't hitting on something, I can't mess with him. But they don't understand, they don't know what this person individual is working towards. They don't know, you know, what's around the corner. You know, and later on he got it. Like the way society is working and thinking. Now, this is the thing here, and we were talking about the Creole movement. Going backwards now. I'm going back. If I ask you this, if there was a man.
Getting a little bad feedback from you, Mike. You probably have to call back in on the show. Your phone dying out. Let's see. Brother coming in. Got 404 sheet. You in, baby?
Yes, sir.
What's going on with you, King? Oh, lost sheep, too. Everybody dropping like flies. Well, Big Mike was trying to drop some economics there and everything. He's in a bad area. He's trying to get back in the live feed if he can. Okay, you back in. Nah, your phone had tuned out for a minute.
Talk to me or...
No, I was talking to you, yeah. Your phone had tuned out for a minute, I think, where you at, location.
I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought because I was waiting on my brother that was on the line. I was asking you.
Hold on. I got a sheep coming in. 444-512. You in, King?
Yes, I'm in now. Finally, I'm plugged in. It's a beautiful Saturday out here, y'all. I'm just tuning in to see what y'all got going on Saturday. I ain't never been on the Saturday show.
Well, welcome.
So, I hope y'all ain't on here talking about cartoons. Saturday morning cartoon?
No street brawl, no none of that.
Okay. Hey, man, I just left. You know what I'm saying? Let me tell y'all something. I know y'all was getting deep on something, but I'm my bad for interrupting. But let me get a little piece in. I just left a food drive. So, you know, for a long time, I had kind of like a bitter heart, you feel me? I grew up out here, and my father was a pastor of a church. And when he passed, it just turned into a little nasty situation. All these intern pastors, all these guys. Y'all know how the Christian thing goes. If niggas can't make money being a pastor, then they ain't going to really care about the congregation. Because the congregation was kind of small. You ain't going to sit there and make no $20,000 a year off these people, you know. But, you know, now the church is building. And the guy that was the pastor, I saw him leading the church, and he just was, you know, girls in the church telling me about how he used to be slick and fresh with them and all that. So I ain't never really liked the nigga. So now I see he trying to build a little bit. And I had to go on and, you know, bite my tongue and kind of like not voice my opinion about him. But the BSO officers came, and they, all the BSO officers volunteered, and something Barton, some kind of Barton, I don't know, but they donated a gang of food, two big trucks came. So the community out there right now with the pastor that took over my father's church, and, you know, they all out there getting the good food. I mean, it's organic stuff, too. It ain't no flaw stuff. It's actually good stuff. So I was very impressed. But my point of talking this is, you know, I had a little bitterness, and then when I came up to them, I'm wearing the old shirt from the church. So they said, oh, man, you had to go dig that up out the grave. They had a, you know, they saying little stuff. So I'm taking it as a joke, and I'm laughing. But then the pastor kind of didn't even really speak to me that much. So I took the initiative to talk to him. You know, I recorded him. I put it up on Facebook and whatnot. But I'm saying to myself, damn, y'all know me for being somebody. But then I had got all my old thoughts about how my mom, you know, my mom was like the first lady of the church, but they kind of like pushed us to the side as far as the financial decision was made. You know, when people get a hold and control of other people and budgets and stuff, you never know how that power would turn them into somebody different, you know? So I'm sitting there and I'm like, damn, look at this preacher. You know, Christians got that stigma. Oh, he just want to get money out of us. So I started thinking that about him. But today I had to go on and be pure at heart and let my Jesus, what would Jesus do, come out. So, you know, I spoke to him, and I didn't speak to none of them folks in years. So I went to talking to one of the BSO officers. I said, yeah, this property my dad bought back in 96, you know, in the church. I'm glad y'all coming through. This is a blessing. I'm giving them the history. Everybody got quiet and looking at me like I'm crazy. You know, like I said, I done spent like 15 years away from the church. So they weren't expecting me to hit them with that knowledge about all this stuff, because they don't know. And it ain't like the pastor making that stuff clear. You see what I mean? Why would he tell the congregation all the business like that, and he really doing his thing as a man, really, more than a spiritual leader, in my opinion. But, yeah, man, and then I saw his face started cringing, and when I called him looking crazy, he came over there and hugged me. So I said, all right. People, we can live in the community together without having to turn into monkeys out here and go. Because really, right now, man, there's so many people jealous and fighting for the top to have power or control over certain aspects of stuff out here. It's really Planet of the Apes, man. And it's for crumbs too. So I'd be like, man. But in the streets, I would have felt like. I felt like a punk for having to go out there and bow down to the man. Because, you know, that's our, we're supposed to be super ultra alpha. We ain't never supposed to be soft. That's the stigma they give us. But, you know, I beg to differ some of the time. Because, you know, when I was out there, a lot of the little chicks that I didn't know and whatnot, they were surprised to see me. And I'd be, you know, just like Dolomite, man, we hold weight out there, more weight than we even understand sometimes. You know what I'm saying? And people be like really intrigued and fascinated that you come in and spending time. They'd be really fascinated to see a black man stop and do. And I ain't talking about no dope boy just doing it for the shit, get his shine on. I'm talking about niggas coming out there sweating and handing out stuff and actually talking to the police and trying to tell them. And I ain't talking about snitching. I'm just saying commending the police. Because, you know, a lot of people don't even tell the police they're doing a good job. You know, the fact of the matter is we do need them. Yeah.
But I'm you know what? You know, I know what's going on in the news with police and, you know, black males, how we see. And don't get me wrong, I commend you for doing the right thing. You know, you don't want no beef or nothing like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I had to take a little sense of ownership. That's why. Because, you know, I was a kid, and I remember that property being our shit. So, yeah, I had to go out there on that level.
But you know something? The problem, you know, when I say this, I can sit by the question too. Like all people, but the problem with any organization, whether it be a government,
I think Mike getting bad feedback again.
Oh yeah,
Mike,
let me call you on the landline. I'm gonna call you on the landline. All right, I'm gonna hang up and call you on the landline.
All right.
Okay, good.
I'm going to speak on this for a minute, though. As far as with the police, look, it's nice if y'all passing out, you know, what you're doing, volunteering and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
But you got a shitload of corrupted cops in your shit. Y'all need to clean that fucking house the fuck on up, man. I mean, I'm not going to give y'all no pass. I'm sorry. I'm just not going to give y'all no pass. I mean, you know, like I said, it's nice that, you know, the police, 5-0, whatever the fuck you want to label your ass as, officer, deputy, it's nice you out there volunteering. But clean your goddamn house up. Stay in your lane, but clean your house up. Because it's time for us to come out here and police our people. Real talk, when it's time for us to come police our people, we don't want your help.
Because
the thing is, y'all got motherfuckers who can rig paperwork. You got police captains who's into that shit. Let me ask, get word from anybody, any council leader, like a mayor or a governor. They gonna have to do what they have to do. But the same token, this is the reason why, you know, Malcolm X was making his speeches, giving away Martin Luther King in the big sixth position.
Mm-hmm.
You got to understand, man, if these people, you know, you can go ahead and do a little Easter egg all you want to, but God damn it, hey. Nigga, you need to clean the house. You need to clean your shit up. So you got
to do something.
Go ahead, King.
Okay, but let me finish my thought. I'm trying to finish my thought right here. You know what? This is why I tell people all the time, the character, I don't care if you're a regular police officer, a mayor, or a pastor. When you are in a position of power, the people that put you in a position of power has got to pay attention to your character. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The prime example I'm going to give y'all is America put a sociopath in the most powerful place, the powerful, most powerful seat in the world.
On the planet.
I'm talking about Donald Trump now. My bad. Now, if people would have checked this man's character before they put him in power, they probably wouldn't have been as much as what's going on right now, so much confusion and whatnot. So how does a person measure somebody's character? And don't get me wrong, I don't just necessarily say, okay, because you're a Christian, that you're going to be an honest and good person. You know, I know I've seen a lot of horror stories. I'm talking about people of my faith. I'm talking about people who are secular also, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I know people ain't going to be perfect, you know what I'm saying? Anybody is going to be perfect out there with what position of authority they have. But at the same time, I think what people can do and what they always should do is just like in the government where you got checks and balances, you get what I'm saying? And a lot of In the church, well, the way the church is supposed to be structured, the elders are supposed to actually, if they see something wrong, whether it be immoral, going against the word of God, they're supposed to check the pastor, it's the opposite in some of these churches. The pastor is have the last word. He's the final word, and he's doing all type of you know how they we from Poplar. We know what time it is. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Rarely do you get somebody in that and behind that pulpit sometime that really is going to do the right thing. You know, I haven't been in every single church, so I don't know how everything is ran. I'm just saying the ones I've been to. And people so will not use their common sense. And I'm talking about the people that's actually going to the church to put some checks and balance. You know what I'm saying? You can't give men, they say absolute authority corrupts anybody. If you give somebody the absolute authority, they're going to run wild with it. You know what I'm saying? I just read in the paper today, Donald Trump's son-in-law just made a $110 million deal with Saudi Arabia for weapons. Now, how does that work? How does your son-in-law go make a deal for $110 billion? How does that work? You see, I mean, that's the problem with America. America is always saying they're holding up to an ideal. Or something that a picture that they want to paint, but when you look at the, when you go and you open the book, when you turn the pages, you see all the flaws and the misprints. You know what I'm saying? Because the people that are supposed to be keeping watch ain't keeping watch. And I tell people this all the time. You know, if you see something, don't let your consciousness turn from it. If you see something and it ain't right, and it's the same thing as far as these the policing of the community. You know, I can't sit there and say everything, my every interaction, but a majority of it was bad. I'm just talking from experience here. But one thing I know, whenever you have a police force that doesn't have diversity in it, you 9 out of 10 times you got a problem. You know what I'm saying? You got a problem. They used to be cops who from your own neighborhood.
Let me ask you this. Imagine all Puerto Ricans and Cubans and two black women, and it's about 12 cops out there. What that says to you?
Well, they're not brainwashed. We've been trained to respect the uniform. And if they're going against the police, then they're breaking that manipulation. You know, just because you got a badge don't mean you can do anything you want or say anything you want. You know what I'm saying?
Dolomite, how you feel about that? All Puerto Ricans and Cubans and two black lady officers. In the black community.
Can't roll with it.
Can I ask you a question? Can I ask you? You said these were the officers, or these were people standing up to the police?
When I said Cubans and Puerto Ricans, those are the officers.
Oh, okay.
You got a long line of black people. The whole dang on food drivers,
okay,
black people in line.
Well, I mean, don't get me wrong. Today's, you know, the culture of today is look out for the guy in the next blue uniform. It's a gang now, you know what I'm saying? It ain't. But first of all, you have to break your mindset. If you got a crowd of 300 people and you only got like 75 officers, how is the 75 officers controlling 300 people? Because you've been taught to fear them back. You got to break that mindset first, you know what I'm saying, and know your rights. And what you can do, everybody knows they can't do what they can't do. But at the same time, you gotta be able to stand up for your rights. Second of all, I still think you need to have more diverse men. If you gotta have quotas where you got 3 black officers, 3 white officers, 3 Spanish people, 3 Spanish officers. That's what I'm saying is, it's not really about the numbers, I should say. It's more about who is included in your. It's not just about the race, but why not get people from your community? You know, if you if I if this is this, let's just say this. Okay, I'm the officer, right? We from the same area in Pompano. You know me. Mike know me. And we see something that's being done illegal, like somebody just got into a fight. Now, a guy from the outside that's not don't know y'all might say, you know what, I'm taking y'all to jail. But if I'm from the community, I can probably go up to him and speak to him and say, man, y'all cut that out. I'm going to have to take y'all to jail. You go that way, I go that way. You see, that's what I'm talking about, a community that actually has some real police officers where they know the people. You get what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And Mike,
I'm going to say a flip side to that coin. I want to say a flip side to that coin. Let's look at the agenda of the situation. Because if we take it back to, let's say, the 1960s, was the police doing stuff like this? Food drive? No, they wasn't. In the 70s, were they doing it? No, they wasn't. It was only after the war on crime when it came to drugs and cocaine. It was only after that. And how do we know that? Because you had operations like DARE that came about. You see, when they doing shit like this, let's just be honest. Like you said, with the Cuban and the Spanish boy and the female officer, look, when they doing shit like this, they looking in the crowd to see who got warrants. They going up and looking up them faces first before they go out to get out of that car.
I believe
who in that crowd. Because once you give away something free, watch the crowd come, including the people with the warrants. You see? It's just a maneuver to draw out people for a certain tactic reason. It ain't just to give away that shit only because they don't care like that. Like I said before, clean your house up. They're not cleaning their house up, and they're not going to do it.
Well, this is the thing here. This is what I'm going to say to y'all. You know, I understand. I'm not going to say yeah or nay that they are not doing that. You know what I'm saying? And I've seen police officers just, they'll see somebody, they patrolling the streets, they'll see this person, and those persons steady, you know, going to jail and getting in trouble. And they'll pick this person up on some petty and lock them up for 2 weeks and they're back on the street. Police officers do have quotas. Listen, you know, I'm not being naive here, you know what I'm saying? Because this is the reality that we're living in. We have become a police state. What I'm saying to you guys about community police officers, if this wasn't, most things have become institutionalized. You see, police officers nowadays think more highly about the person in the blue uniform than they do the regular person. You see, if you could change, now I'm not saying I know how to change the culture, but if you could change the culture of the police department and get them to not look at everybody as a suspect, but look at everybody as a family member or someone in the community that has, you know, give somebody the respect and dignity that they deserve. But we don't have that today because of the cronyism of the people of the way. See, society has had a mind shift. This is why I say that I don't mean to go back and we say DNA, but this is the reason why I say it's the brainwashing, the thinking of brainwashing. When I say brainwashing, I'm saying the thinking of the people in society. Once you see, if someone starts thinking like the crowd, it's hard to shift the crowd. One person can't shift the crowd. It might take an event to shift the crowd, but one person can't shift the crowd. So what I'm saying to you is that whether they're doing it through the television or through their own, whether they hang out and how they view you as the enemy or they view me as the enemy, this is the change that I'm talking about. Now, again, that's a solution I'm giving to you guys. That's not the only thing. If you really had an internal affairs that was separate from the police department, I think police officers would think twice about violating the law. You see, today's internal affairs in police departments, right, they're controlled by the police departments. Come on, are you going to lock up your own friend or get him in trouble? You know he got a family?
That's on the street level, too, because if you say, oh, we got to hire out of the community, then I'm going to look out for Mike. And I might tell Mike, you know you can grow that good shit over there. You know you can sell some good shit. But, so, you know, you got to have eyes on eyes. That's what that whole FBI, watch by CIA,
But listen, the problem ain't just the police, brother. And I know y'all might not agree with this. The problem just ain't the police. The problem is the community, too. You know what I'm saying? We gotta. If we're gonna point the finger at what is the external problem, and we don't point the finger at the internal problem, come on. I understand that the U.S. government brought in drugs and chemically bombed us, and that's the reason why today a young black male are quick to get a package and move that than to get a regular job. I know the side effects of that. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They did this psychologically, and they did it physically to us. But we got to take some accountability some way, some shape or form. We got to break. It's like what they say, you got to break the curse on your family. Somebody's got to say, you know what? I can't do this no more. I don't want my generation going through this right here. And some people have done it. Some people have literally done it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I give kudos to those people that have done it. But if you go, let's go down 27 right now. If I go down 27 right now, I got a bunch of young dudes sitting on the front of a corner, sitting in front of a stove, trying to make a come up. Ain't nobody come up there saying to these young boys, hey, y'all need to do this, y'all need to do that. You know what I'm saying? Or at least give them a different direction or a word of a different direction. I often do this with people that I grew up in my life. I see still doing the same thing. I'm like, bro, come on, bro. You ain't come up yet. When you going to come up? You know what I'm saying? You need to go ahead and just leave this alone and try something different. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying go bust your ass and get another five, but if you got to do that for a little while till you get your own thing going, go ahead and do that. Make a change. That's what Jesus would tell somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for a change in the way we think. Go ahead. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. My bad. I ain't saying that. I'm just going through the videos I took. You probably heard my voice like that.
Oh, okay.
My bad.
We got 6 minutes counting on the show, so
okay,
I'm going to try to put this in the overdrive and everything if I can. I don't know if it'll let me cut it off, but I'm going to set the show for an hour, but we'll see. Long story short, it is a situation between community and the police, but I take the words of Malcolm X. Complete separation. It ain't meant for y'all to mingle. That's like two couples that, you know, argue all the time. It ain't meant for y'all to be together. No fall back.
Okay,
both of y'all.
Hey, Mike, I just want to ask you this question real quick. If somebody breaking your house, who you going to call? If you ain't got no gun, who you going to call?
My cousin.
You might call the police just to come do the fingerprinting and investigate.
Nah,
The
thing is this. Why you calling the police and all that shit, the person getting away. The person getting away. That fingerprint shit, man, you can go out there and buy that shit yourself.
No, but what I'm saying is that the police, if something was to happen to you, God forbid, if something was to happen to me, let's just somebody came to my house and shot me and killed me, at least there would be somebody be looking for the killer. You know what I'm saying?
I'm just saying, I already got shot where I had dwelt before. You know what I'm saying? My niggas had to carry my ass to the hospital. You see?
No, I'm not saying.
If you're in the middle of a war, you know what I'm saying? If you want to pursue, if you out here in the war zone,
Your troop got to carry your ass to the goddamn ER.
That's, I understand that. That's not what I'm saying.
But I'm, what I'm saying is this, though, King. If I see the community don't talk, I'm pretty sure somewhere in Collier City, it's a doctor. Nobody just don't talk. I'm pretty sure somewhere around here in Collier City, there's a dentist. People don't talk.
The facility is worth more than the person, though.
You know what I'm saying? So the thing is, it's all about how you show that black love and royalty and embrace me. They got to do the same thing. It's 50-50 because they're going to want security.
No, but what I'm saying to you is, if someone gets murdered and there's nobody around, and you know, nobody, see, most time when something, I'm going to tell y'all something very controversial, but I got to tell y'all this. Tupac gets murdered. Suppose Suge Knight sends a couple of goons, one to get police officer, and they kill Biggie. Now, in reality, Tupac got killed because of what Suge did to a couple of dudes in his neighborhood. You see, this is what I'm saying. I said all that because black people don't check for facts. That's just how we just go off of hunches and or maybe I had people this, he must have did it. What I'm saying to you is, if somebody comes and shoots you and kills you, and there's nobody around, there's no evidence. I mean, there's evidence, but, you know, black people don't do fingerprinting. They don't, you know, do DNA. And the police come, and they do all that, and they find the killer. They find the killer way in New York. And they lock him up, and they put him away. You know what I mean by justice? You get what I'm saying? That's justice right there. Now, if
well, my
got
thing
to
is,
somebody,
my thing is with the murdering situation. Look, if you out there, you get caught up some shit like that, it's because you were doing something fucked up. Other than that, if somebody just up and came and murdered you.
But people you're
breaking
all
the Harriet Tubman rule. I know what I'm saying, but bottom line is you're breaking the Harriet Tubman rule. If there was 20, 40, 50 people around your ass, you wouldn't be caught up like that.
No. Okay, no, but what I'm saying is you're innocent, you're a law-abiding citizen, and someone comes breaking your house and wants to take something that's, you know, you're not a criminal, you don't have no keys now, and somebody comes and murders you. What I'm saying to you is, if there's no witnesses around, you want somebody to do some background and look for the killer. Because you got to give your family, you got to give the family some closure. You see, you go, but what about your family? You get what I'm saying? Your family got to live. They got to live with your death and not know who did it or what the reason behind it.
Well, see, that's
this
the reason why
mean.
You have. But that's why you have the thing called dynasty. A dynasty, shit like this can't happen to you because why? You got to be on point for it. You always got to be on point for anything that goes down.
Listen, everybody, I mean, that's a wonderful notion there, but not everybody says, all right, killer's going to come around at 2 o'clock and come kill. You know what I'm saying? If you were the couple, some people just go to work. Some people go to work. And they come home and they pay the bills. They live in they try to do the best they can in life. And certain things like this happen sometimes. You see what I'm saying? It's not that they're asking for or they're looking for it. It's just sometimes it happens like that. It could be in their bed. Somebody come and breaking their house, got a gun. They wake up. They scare the person. Person shoots, boom. Person is dead. And they run away. And there's nobody there to sit there and say, okay. Who do you have beef with? Or there's nobody. Not only sitting before we have beef, but there's nobody to sit there and say, okay, this, you know, there's only evidence that you know the police are qualified to gather.
But let's just be honest. Let's just be honest for a second. If there was programs that there were, you know, or things that they were taking care of people, feeding them, clothing them, creating jobs, nobody wouldn't be out there robbing the next man, shit like that. That's just a fact of the whole thing. So, long story short, you know, if that's the case, we have to understand that, hey, It's not just a situation where a person would just come and rob you because of what you got. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, but what I'm saying, listen, there is no system that's going to clothe and feed and take care of everybody. That's another paradigm. That's another lie that they teach in society. There is no system that's going to be able to catch everybody. It don't work like that. You know, because if the people at the top care about themselves, how are they going to be able to keep up with every single person and make sure every single person is able to be taken care of? I wish it was a world like that, but that's not the way the things roll. What I'm saying is that if people, even in times where there wasn't all this drugs going on, there was actually families, people were working, and they were taking care of their kids. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't what you see today. They were still going around, people getting murdered and getting shot and killed over in a bar or, you know, over a girl. You know what I'm saying? These things have been going on in society for a long time. We can't say because society's gone a little bit more demented that these things didn't happen. Because at the end of the day, the murder rate in America is far above average than any place else in the world. Shit, you got the government killing people. But go ahead, go ahead.
I mean, I still got to revert back to, you know, if shit wasn't the way it is, a nigga would be trying to break into your home. The more you build for the foundation of for the people, the less you're gonna need the police.
Okay, then what about drugs then? If someone is doing drugs and they not working
again, if there was. There's all kind of shit out there that could detox drugs out of you.
Listen, what I'm saying.
I mean, a person just gotta take it, but if they willing to, that's up to them. But point being,
okay,
is,
but what up?
Even with someone in the neighborhood selling drugs, you gotta go.
Okay, but what I'm trying to say here is, it would be wonderful for that. I'm not saying you're wrong for what you're saying, brother. I wish it was like that. You know what I'm saying? I really do. You know, back in the day, I hear stories, if they caught you selling drugs around children, they'll run you off the block. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They didn't want that stuff in their communities, you know what I'm saying? But today, if I'm living in an apartment complex or I'm living in a house and a housing, you know, a residential neighborhood, and I know that I'm talking about the black community here. No matter if it's an apartment or residential neighborhood, if someone knows somebody is selling drugs, they don't immediately call the police. One thing I got to commend white people for, they don't allow that stuff in their communities. You know what I'm saying? That's a no-no in their community. If they know you're doing stuff like that, you guarantee the police going to kick in your door. Because they're going to drop
what?
Down quick.
But guess what? There's a CVS. There's a Winn-Dixie, there's a Publix, there's a Walmart, there's a Walgreens. Any other thing out there, pharmaceutical company-wise, you taking drugs anyway, including the hospital.
I understand that. I know there's a big opioid problem here in the state of Florida right now. There's like 3,400 people that died from pharmaceutical drugs. I know the hypocrisy you're talking about. I'm with you on that. I know it's hypocrisy. But one thing we're not talking about here is who is taking ownership. Everybody is in control of their own life. If I choose to go get high and neglect my life, that's my choice. I can't blame anybody but myself. And in today's society, whether it be drugs or people just emotionally or mentally, they don't want to take ownership for stuff. You know what I'm saying? If I'm doing something wrong in my life, I can't go blame somebody else. I got to look at myself. Or if I'm doing something wrong in my community, or I'm doing something in my private life, if I don't take ownership of it, I'm going to suffer the consequences of that. Because people these days love to push it off on somebody else and never want to take responsibility for what they say and do. That's the key. See, I go back sometime when I try to what I mean you be talking about. What holds somebody's feet to the fire? And what I mean by that is, what keeps everybody honest? If you choose to be a person that has, I'm gonna leave it like this, bad character, then that's what you're gonna do. You know what I'm saying? If you have some values, you have some moral compass, you're gonna hold on to these things. But ultimately, it's up to the individual. You know, nobody can force, nobody's shoving any rock down somebody's throat. Ain't nobody forcing you to take heroin. You know what I'm saying? You choose to do that because you choose to do that. And then when it becomes a problem in your life, you're looking for, then you need people's help to get you out of the situation. And I hope you have somebody that's going to help you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I know there are some things that are institutionalized, and there's some things that, you know, we as individuals, we wish we could change these things in our society. But one thing we always got control over is ourselves. But brothers, I gotta get on out of here. I got some other things I gotta do. But I'm about to leave y'all. All right, I'll try to call in Monday, Tuesday, right? I'm sorry, I'm bad with dates.
Actually, I'm gonna be back on Monday because I'm gonna be doing a montage on Monday, dealing with the Queen, one of the queens that was part of the Black Panther Party, and that would actually be Kathleen Cleaver. I'm gonna be doing some documentary on her. Putting out as far as with some audio, the Queen was breaking down some information during, you know, the debate in the hospital at that time. So again, on top of day, I'm gonna be in with it. I'm gonna be up on starting at 8 o'clock, loading it up, and hey man, we're gonna have a good
in
time.
In the morning, at night.
No, at night. Only time I go in the morning if I can is probably on Saturdays on or weekend.
All right.
It's all right. Good talk. Just hit me up on the re-up. Matter of fact, I'll text you and let you know. And let you know when we're on. All right.
All right.
One.
All right. Peace, brothers.
Peace. Beautiful thing. Saturday. We loading it up. Always having a good time. You hear the importance right here of human relations, man. Human relations, community, population, civilization. All the stuff here that takes place in the realm of not just economic development, but it also deals with the way the planet is treated as well. The planet don't make y'all go digging in the earth. The planet don't make y'all go blowing the earth up. The planet don't make y'all go polluting. Who does that? Man. Human. Woman. Child. People. Y'all do all this. So, again, who's at fault? People at fault. As usual. But we point the finger at everyone else. That's why I'd rather hang around plants and animals. Make you think about what you're doing in life. Understand that. Know that. Different things go on in life, then, you know, next thing you know, you caught up out here doing the most craziest, insignificant shit, and you looking crazy. Just fall back off that shit, man. Just fall back. All you gotta do, just fall back. be on Monday for the montage. Going in, Black Panther Party. Queen, your week. Load y'all up, man. It's all gravy. Going out to another event this weekend. Coming up. I'm sorry, next weekend. Coming up. Well, actually, this weekend. Same shit. Addition to that, hey, man. Posting it up, ready to rock and roll. That's all I'm ready to do. Ready to just put my boots on and lay the stump down on some shit. Sometimes you gotta get that way, people. Sometimes you gotta get that way. But again, this is how I feel, because a person don't put in work. You around here passing around shit, want to act one way, but then when it's time to slap cuffs on people or watching somebody get killed, you ain't, you know, you falling back on that shit. Oh, I need my job. Man, get out of here, punk. Anyway, doing the end of the dial, man. Y'all do what you have to do. Power to the people. Your big brother, your little brother. Always a pleasure to be around the crowd, our people's family. Hold it down. Hold it down. Broward County, Southern States, 50 crime rates. You know how we do it. Man, I can't wait till Monday. He's a queen voice. Queen coming in with some serious, serious power. Queen Kathleen. And I ain't talking about some European. Queen wanting to go in raw, heavy, hard. She does it. She did it. Anyway, we're going to be having some more events coming up soon as well. See Sheep out there. He roaming the streets as usual. King always monitoring the spots. 441 Island Mecca. Coming to holler at your peoples. Stay on point with it. Going to end this show off real soon. I'll get caught up in some more events out here. People calling me left and right and texting me. Come here, come there. Need a commercial ad. No, here we go. Here we go, here we go, here we go. Yeah, that's all gravy, man. Showing black love, showing black love. People texting me some support. That's good. Always good to have some reassurance. Anyway, appreciate you, brother. Now, I was seeing quite a bit of people. Word is getting out now about the radio station, which is good. I'm gonna go ahead. I'll catch y'all on Monday. Hey now, baby.
Thank you.